RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Densus 88 arrest suspected terrorists in Central Java's Temanggung district. Financial Service Authority, OJK, to monitor financial technology. Now the news in detail. The National Police Counter-Terrorism Squad Densus 88 arrested a suspected terrorist in Bonjor Village, Tretap Sub-District, Temanggung District, Central Java on Sunday. The suspected terrorist, identified by his initial as AS, was arrested shortly after they came out of Al Falak Mosque. At the village, Chief of the Temanggung District Police, Agent Senior Commissioner Maisa Sugriwo, sat in Temanggung, Central Java on Sunday. The Densus 88 made the arrest after searching AS house. The suspected terrorist was arrested not far away from the mosque at 7:20 to 7:35 a.m. local time. Maisa Sugriwo said that the Temanggung District Police had coordinated with the Densus 88 since Saturday night before arresting the suspected terrorist. The Densus 88, along with the Temanggung District Police and the Tretap Police Precinct, spied on the house and later searched it on Sunday morning. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, has formed two new directorates as a response to financial technology fintech development. OJK Deputy Chief Commissioner Rahmat Waluyanto said that the two new directorates are Digital Financial Innovation Unit and Fintech Permit and Monitoring Unit. Rahmat recently said in Jakarta that the directors have been appointed, but it cannot yet be announced because it's not official yet. The Digital Financial Innovation Unit will handle regulatory sandbox and research. In a bid to respond to fintech development, OJK has also formed Fintech Expert Forum and Fintech Innovation Hub. The forum will facilitate fintech industry development comprising individuals from 21 entities such as ministries, agencies, associations, universities, and other relevant business players. The committee will give recommendations and inputs as well as facilitate coordination between agencies and fintech startup companies. Meanwhile, OJK's Fintech Innovation Center is projected to become a hub of various fintech incubators to discuss developments. OJK Chief Commissioner said that Fintech Expert Forum will facilitate and ensure coordination of various startup players. As of January 2016, Indonesia Fintech Association report that the country has 165 domestic startups. The figure has quadrupled compared to that of in the first quarter of 2014 with 40 companies. At least three Sukhoi jet fighters have been deployed to Tarakan a town in North Kalimantan near the maritime border with the southern Philippines to guard against insurgency and prevent Islamic State-linked multi-terrorists from entering Indonesia. An ongoing battle between the Mauti group and Philippines military in Marawi City on Mindanao Island in the Philippines has sparked concern in Indonesia that it might force the group members to flee the area and attempt to get into Indonesia. The three Sukhoi jets were parked at the Tarakan Air Force Base on Sunday afternoon, June 18th. The Sukhoi jets, which were deployed on Friday, June 16, would strengthen the military patrols that are already being conducted near the border with the Philippines, as reported by Antara News Agency on Sunday. The jets would remain there for 1 month. Tarakan Air Force Base Chief Colonel Didi Kristianto said on Sunday, escorted by Antara News Agency, that the militants might flee the Philippines and be forced to cross the border into Indonesia. On Monday, June 19, defense ministers from Indonesia, the Philippines and Malaysia launched a trilateral maritime patrol, a joint patrol designed to drive back any insurgencies in the region. The event was also attended by defense ministers from Singapore and Brunei Darussalam, both acting as observers. Indonesia and China have agreed to invest in industrial zones outside Java. Companies from both countries last week signed agreements to invest in Morowali Industrial Area in South Sulawesi worth $1.63 billion or 21 trillion rupiah. That includes investment commitment through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between Singsan Group, the land group in PT Indonesia Morowali Industrial Park. They will build a carbon steel plant in Morowali with a production capacity of 3.5 million tons per year. The investment is valued at $980 million. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto recently said in Jakarta that the industrial cooperation between the two countries is expected to contribute to the enhancement of the national industry structure and competitiveness. The ministry also capable of driving evenly distributed development and welfare in Indonesia. The agreements were preceded by a bilateral meeting between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and China's Xi Jinping at the Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation in Beijing last month. On the Belt and Road Initiative, the government has pushed for improved cooperation with Chinese investors in Tanah Kuning Industrial Area in North Kalimantan, as well as other priority industrial areas such as North Sumatra and North Sulawesi. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Police have started questioning witnesses in their investigation into a fire that broke out in one of the buildings in the House of Representatives complex in Senayan, Central Jakarta, on Sunday, June 18. Central Jakarta Police spokesman Suyatno said on Sunday in Jakarta that the police suspect the fire was caused by an electrical short circuit in a special committee meeting room C in the Nusantara building of the legislative complex, but the police are still investigating. The fire broke out at around 1:30 a.m. and it was extinguished about an hour later. The extent of damage is not immediately clear, but nobody was injured in the incident. In the wake of the fire, lawmaker Rico Diapitaloka called for better management for the legislative building, especially to protect strategic rooms and archives. In a press release, Rika said no maintenance or construction of any kind should take place in the middle of the night. She also said it is better that there are no activities inside the buildings during the weekends. Fans of paragliding should consider adding one more destination to their list of places to visit: Modangan Beach. located in Sumbaroto village in Malang, East Java, the beach, which has recently been named a tourist village area, is known as a place associated with the aerospace industry. As paragliding serves as one of the beach's main attractions, a local community, the Modangan Paragliding Club, employs senior paragliding coaches to train local youth to become paragliding athletes. The village is also home to picturesque teak forests and several Instagrammable spots. For those looking to spend a few days at the destination, Malang Village is currently developing 5 homestay areas that occupy 1.5 hectares of land. The local administration reportedly plans to offer opportunities for the villagers to open their houses to be used as homestays for tourists. Sumbaroto village head Budi Utama recently said in Malang that the administration has plans to develop halal tourism at Modangan Beach, considering that the villagers are known to be religious. The last item. The operator of I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport Bali, Angkasa Pura 1, has temporarily closed all flight operations due to bad weather on Monday, June 19. Some flights have been affected by the condition. Ngurah Rai Airport is located in Badung District, Bali, around 13 km from Denpasar. It is the third busiest airport in Indonesia after Soekarno-Hatta International Airport and Juanda International Airport. The airport was named after I Gusti Ngurah Rai, a national hero from Bali. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Densus 88 arrests suspected terrorist in Central Java's Temanggung District. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, to monitor financial technology. That was the news.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary to the entitled Pros and Cons on 8-Hour School Day Policy. Monday, June 12, 2017, Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, said that the government of Indonesia will soon apply 8-Hour School Day Policy or full-day school policy with the 5 school days for 2017-2018 academic year. The policy is an implementation of the Character Education Reinforcement Program, locally called PPK, which focuses on 5 main values, namely religious, nationalist, mutual assistance, self-resilience, and integrity. However, even though it has not been implemented yet, the plan has already generated pros and cons and unrest among the public. Among those who are against, the policy said that not all parents work all day, particularly those living in remote areas. Most of them actually work as farmers or fishermen. They interact with their children in their daily lives. With the full-day school policy, it is spurred to eliminate the quantity of interaction between parents and children. While those who are for the 8-hour school day policy with 5 school days said that the policy has more positive than negative impacts. 8 hours is counted as a student's learning process, including various additional activities undertaken by students after their schooling activities. So various extracurricular activities done in the school or outside the school will be counted as learning process conducted by a student. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajirah, who initiated the policy, states that many people still misunderstand the concept of 8-hour school day. It does not mean that the students have class for 8 hours. In fact, Minister Muhajir also said that in the 8-hour school, students not only receive lessons that come from textbook, but also receive character education. He explains later that transferred knowledge from textbook is only 30%. Meanwhile, the remaining 60 until 70% will be filled with character education. He added that there are several characters that want to be formed. The priorities are honesty, unyielding, tolerance, and cooperation. President Joko Widodo himself has instructed the Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, to review the policy plan of 8-hour school day after hearing of unrest among the communities. Every new policy will surely pose pros and cons. Many cycles who are against the policy plan do not consider that the policy is bad. It is hoped that the community does not carelessly respond to a policy. All stakeholders should look at the policy plan clearly first. After that, they can express their opinions. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listeners, it's nice to meet you here. I'm Mana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over our rival service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on June 19, 1948, when the Battle of the Philippine Sea began. The Battle of the Philippine Sea, June 19 until 1944, was a major naval battle of the World War II that eliminated the Imperial Japanese Navy's ability to conduct large-scale carrier actions. It took place during the United States' amphibious invasion of the Mariana Islands during the Pacific War. The battle was the last of five major carrier versus carrier engagement between American and Japanese naval forces and fitted elements of United States Navy's fleet against ships and aircraft of the Imperial Japanese Navy's mobile fleet and nearby island garrisons. The next event was in 1961, Kuwait declared its independence from the United Kingdom. Kuwait declared its independence from the United Kingdom precisely on June 19, 1961. The country has a narrow territory, but the country is rich in petroleum resources. Kuwait itself, in the Middle Ages, was not a fairly populated area. The country had fallen into the hands of Ottoman Turkish Empire in the 19th century. However, the internal conflicts within the Ottoman Empire made Britain begin to strengthen its influence in Kuwait. In 1897, Kuwait officially became the British Protectorate. The discovery of petroleum in 1930 caused drastic change in Kuwait. The level of people's welfare increased due to the discovery of the oil. Britain finally released the Treaty of Kuwait on June 19, 1961. However, Britain still deploys its military in Kuwait to help secure the small country. And the last event was in 2008, John Ario Catilli passed away. Former Vice Chairman of People's Council Assembly, MPR, Professor John Ario Catilli passed away on June 19, 2008 in Jakarta. He was a member of the House of Representatives from 1992 until 1997. Before, he was Director General of Geology and Mineral Resources Department of Mining and Energy from 1984 until 1989. In addition to a career in legislative and executive, John Catilli was also Vice Rector of the Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, and the Dean of Department of Mineral Technology of Bandung Institute of Technology. The professor of Bandung Institute of Technology has written around 11 books and 250 papers. His expertise in geology is much respected in international world. John Catilli had become chairman of Southeast Asia of Geological Societies and member of the National Geographic Society. For his devotions, John Catilli was awarded Bintan Mahaputra, Medal of Honor of Commander de l'Ordre National du Mérite from the Government of France. A number of awards were also awarded from the Government of Netherlands Kingdom, Sweden and Russia. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with focus entitling Government Launch 15 Economic Policy Package. The Government of Indonesia launched the 15th policy package. This was announced by Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, accompanied by Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung and Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi at the Presidential's office in Jakarta on Thursday. The 15th economic policy package focuses on improving the national logistics system to accelerate business development and competitiveness of national logistics service providers. In his presentation, Minister Darmin Nasution disclosed several important points in the 15th economic policy package. Among others, providing opportunities to enhance the role and scale of business. He also pointed out that this is done by providing business opportunities for transportation and national insurance in carrying out import-export goods, as well as increasing shipyard business and ship maintenance in the country. The economic policy package also provides the ease of doing business and cost reductions for the national logistics service provider.
Juga masuk di dalam paket yang hari ini, kemudahan berusaha dan pengurangan beban biaya bagi usaha penyedia jasa logistik nasional.
Also included in the package today is the ease of doing business and reducing the cost burden for national logistics service providers. The policy will, among others, reduce the operational costs of transportation services, eliminate excessive licensing requirements on freight transport, alleviate the investment costs of seaport business, standardize domestic goods flow documents, as well as develop a regional distribution center, make procurement of certain ships easy, and furthermore provide the mechanism of refund of container guarantee fee. Minister Darmin Nasution said that the 15th economic policy package also includes the institutional strengthening and authority of Indonesian National Single Window, or INSW. He feels that this is done by providing the independence function to the INSW body to develop electronic system of services and supervision of import-export, customs, and port throughout Indonesia, including overseeing import-export activities that have the potential to become illegal trade. In addition to building a single risk management for the smooth flow of goods and decreasing the dwelling time, Minister Darmin Nasution explained the strengthening policy is to put INSW as the competent authority in the integration of Asian single window, as well as to safeguard the supervision of free trade agreement. In addition, the 15th economic policy package also includes the simplification of the trade system by establishing an import-export trading team to reduce the number of violations. Meanwhile, the World Bank welcomes the Indonesian government's efforts to reduce logistic costs through its 15th economic policy package and to assess it as a form of great boost for the economy if it can be implemented properly. World Bank Country Director for Indonesia, Rodrigo Echevas, said at the launch of Indonesia's quarterly economic report in Jakarta on Thursday that the reduction of logistic costs will boost growth. He considered logistic costs in Indonesia as a major barrier towards growth efficiency, as Indonesia uses about 24% of gross domestic products or GDP in logistics, while Malaysia spends 8% of GDP and Singapore is much lower. Rodrigo said congestion is one form of logistical problems. If it can be reduced, it will be a big boost for the national economy. That was Focus. I'm Nugroho Sumawati.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The National Police Counterterrorism Squad Densus 88 arrested a suspected terrorist in Bojor Village, Tretap Sub-District, Temanggung District, Sentul Java, on Sunday. The suspected terrorist, identified by his initials as AS, was arrested shortly after he came out of Al-Falak Mosque at the village. Chief of the Temanggung District Police, Adjutant Senior Commissioner Maisa Sugriwo, sat in Temanggung, Sentul Java, on Sunday. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, has formed two new directorates as a response to financial technology fintech development. At least three Sukhoi jet fighters have been deployed to Tarakan, a town in North Kalimantan near the maritime border with the southern Philippines, to guard against insurgency and prevent Islamic State-linked Houthi terrorists from entering Indonesia. Indonesia and China have agreed to invest in industrial zones outside Java. Companies from both countries last week signed agreements to invest in Morowali Industrial Area in South Sulawesi, worth $1.68 billion, or 21 trillion rupiah. Police have started questioning witnesses in their investigation into a fire that broke out in one of the buildings in the House of Representatives complex in Senayan, Central Jakarta, on Sunday, June 18. Fans of paragliding should consider adding one more destination to their list of places to visit: Modangan Beach. Located in Sumbaroto Village in Malang, East Java, the beach, which has recently been named as a tourist village area, is known as a place associated with the aerospace industry. The operator of I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport Bali, Angkasa Pura 1, has temporarily closed all flight operations due to bad weather on Monday, June 19. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Hey.
make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite? 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Clorot, a traditional cake from Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, for Muslims, waiting for the time to break the fast by looking for snack is pleasure activity. Usually, there is evening market which serves extra dish for breaking the fast. The suitable food for breaking the fast is sweet food. One of them is clorot. Listeners, clorot is a traditional cake which is made from rice flour, coconut milk, and palm sugar and wrapped with young coconut leaf. It is very unique, the cake which has brown color, sweet flavor, and also chewy texture will give typical taste. To make clorot, palm sugar, salt, and pandanus leaf are mixed with coconut milk. Then it is cooked while stirring well. After that, pour the mixture into container with contents of rice flour and then stir again. Then pour the dough into wrap from young coconut leaf which has been formed corn. Then the dough is steamed until cooked. Listeners, besides its typical flavor, clorot wrapped is also unique. Young coconut leaf is formed cone, circle, and elongated, so at the middle. It can contain the dough. At the bottom of the clorot wrap, it must be tight in order it does not leak when the dough is poured. And at the top of the raft, it is pinned by a stick in order not to be separated and crushed in its shape. Listeners, if you do not enjoy chlorot yet, maybe you will be confused to eat it because its wrap is unique. To eat chlorot, firstly, you have to press the bottom of the wrap by using finger. After the content of chlorot comes out, so you can eat it. You can buy chlorot at the food shops or traditional markets. Because its unique shape and typical taste make chlorot be on demand very much. Listeners, if you are in Indonesia, please do not forget to enjoy chlorot. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled The Hotel, which in English means at a hotel. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice loudly, and you can repeat after me. Di hotel in English, at a hotel. Selamat pagi in English, good morning. Mau in English, to like. Berenang in English, to swim. Kolam renang in English, swimming pool. Di lantai berapa in English, at what floor? Lantai delapan in English, eighth floor. Tersedia in English, be available. Handuk in English, towel. Area in English, area. Pusat kebugaran in English, fitness center. Tamu in English, guest. Tidak perlu in English, no need. Membayar in English, to pay. Maaf in English, sorry. Makan pagi in English, breakfast. Jam berapa in English, what time is it? Jam 10 pagi in English, 10 a.m. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled The Hotel, or in English means at a hotel. The conversation is between A. Hotelier and B. Rose at a hotel. A. Hotelier. Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, good morning, can I help you? Be Rose. Saya mau berenang. Saya mau berenang. In English, I want to swim. Kolam renang di lantai berapa? Kolam renang di lantai berapa? In English, where is the swimming pool? A. Hotel Lawyer. Kolam renang ada di lantai 8. Kolam renang ada di lantai 8. In English, the swimming pool is on the 8th floor. Anda bisa menggunakan lift ini. Anda bisa menggunakan lift ini. In English, you can use the elevator. B. Rose. Apakah di kolam renang tersedia handuk? Apakah di kolam renang tersedia handuk? In English, is there a towel at the pool? A. Hotel Lawyer. Ya, di sana sudah tersedia handuk. Ya, di sana sudah tersedia handuk. In English, yes, the towel is available there. Selain itu, di area kolam renang juga tersedia pusat kebugaran. Selain itu, di area kolam renang juga tersedia pusat kebugaran. In English, in the swimming pool area, a fitness center is also available. B. Rose. Berapa biaya menggunakan pusat kebugaran? Berapa biaya menggunakan pusat kebugaran? In English, how much does it cost for the fitness center? A. Hotel Lawyer. Karena Anda tamu di hotel ini, Anda tidak perlu membayar. Karena Anda tamu di hotel ini, Anda tidak perlu membayar. In English, because you are the guest of the hotel, you do not need to pay. B. Rose. Oh, baiklah. Oh, baiklah. In English, all right. Maaf, di hotel ini makan pagi sampai jam berapa? Maaf, di hotel ini makan pagi sampai jam berapa? In English, sorry, until what time is the breakfast there? A. Hotel Lawyer. Di sini Anda bisa makan pagi sampai jam 10 pagi. Di sini Anda bisa makan pagi sampai jam 10 pagi. In English, you are allowed to have breakfast until 10 o'clock. B. Rose. Baiklah, kalau begitu saya akan sarapan setelah berenang. Baiklah, kalau begitu saya akan sarapan setelah berenang. In English, alright. So I will have breakfast after swimming. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow, and sampai jumpa.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me in the regular program Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition, we will present you to some Krancong songs by Mus Mulyadi. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Dewi Murni by Mus Mulyadi. Happy listening.
Awan mendung bagai berterbangan semua. Alcahaya dari Dewi Murni menimbulkan suci dan murni di dalam hati dan sanubari.
You've just listened to the song entitled Dewi Murni by Mus Mulyadi. The song tells about a beautiful angel who is taking bath to the lake. Mus Mulyadi was born in Surabaya on August 14, 1945. The musical talent of Mus Mulyadi, who was named as Buaya Kroncong, was grown self-taught from his family who loved the music. His musical career began during his teenage years by forming and training a band called Irama Puspita. In addition to Irama Puspita band, Mus Mulyadi also had joined in several musical groups, such as Arista Birawa and Favorites Group. In 1978, Mus Mulyadi also quit from the Favorites Group and started his solo career by singing pop kroncong genre and sold out in the market. One of his famous songs was Dewi Murni, which we've listened to at the beginning of the segment of Music Corner. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Kota Solo by Mus Mulyadi. Enjoy the song. Thank you.
Despite the success in the keroncong music industry, Mus Mulyadi still trying to cultivate various kinds of entertainment industry, such as playing in the widescreen movie and singing dangdut and ballad songs. The man who was dubbed as the king of keroncong music is now not yet re-emerged in the music world of Indonesia. Mus Mulyadi is struggling with diabetes he has suffered since 1984. In fact, since 2004, Mus Mulyadi has lost his vision for diabetes. However, his voice is so characteristically loved by the keroncong music lovers. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Persembahanku and Kasih dari Surga by Mus Mulyadi. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.